our 10-minute speaker is April.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm April and I'm an alcoholic. I need to turn my little 10-minute thing on here so I know when to get off the stage. So there's a lot of people here. Wow. I am an alcoholic, and my sobriety date is June 2nd, 2010. I came an alcoholic. I'm so nervous. My heart is just going, okay. So I came in here. I came into Alcoholics Anonymous the first time in 2003. And, you know, I got here, I guess, probably like everybody else gets here. I was beaten. I was completely demoralized. I never heard the word incomprehensible demoralization until I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, but I sure knew what it felt like. I think I was probably 9 or 10 the first time I experienced it, and it was long before I ever became an alcoholic. I just thought different than other people. I was different than other people. And it wasn't completely all in my imagination, although I'm sure a lot of it was, because, you know, I'm special and I'm different than everybody. So, of course, you know, you don't understand me. So, but the truth was that I thought different. And, you know, I get into these little scrapes and these little things. I'd make up stories. I'd do things. Like, I was like 10 years old, and I took all the heads off of my friend's doll and hid them in the rock garden. Well, I couldn't find them. We never could find them. We went through all those rocks, and we couldn't find them. Well, needless to say, my parents and her parents were very mad because there was a lot of that was expensive. I thought it was funny as hell. I still think it's funny as hell. But they didn't. And I didn't really get why everybody was so upset. I mean, I understood that it turned out badly, but it was okay, you know. And I was very bad in school. I failed in school. It turned out later on that I had a learning disability that I didn't find out about until I was an adult. And I did poorly in school. My home life was obvious, you know. I mean, I'm sure there's lots of people that came from really good homes in here. I was not one of them. My parents did the best they could with what they had to work with, and that's just the way it is. And they were good people, but, you know, I started drinking when I was 14. I started drinking because I just couldn't. I started drinking because I liked the effects of alcohol. I mean, that was the bottom line. I liked the effects of alcohol, and it made things easy. It made things, and I didn't even really give it any thought. I just ran with it. You know, on Friday nights, I'd go get my skating money from my parents because I'm going to go skating. I'm not going skating. I'm going to go get a case of beer, but I need more money. So I need to get everybody else to tell their parents that we're going skating too so that we can get more money, so that we can get beer, and now we need a place to get it. And, you know, I was that girl, and I created a lot of chaos, and I realized pretty soon that I drank differently than everybody. It was more important to me than anybody else. You know, it was really important for me, and it wasn't so important for them. And then I'd get hammered, and then I'd make an ass of myself, and then it would be all around school the next day, and it was just awful. So I started, well, it probably took me 3 years of just making an ass of myself on a regular basis, losing friends, alienating myself from my fellows, to realize that, you know what, you need to keep this quiet. You know, I need to keep this quiet. And it was hard to drink a fifth of bourbon a day at 17 years old and keep it quiet. You know, it was hard, but I worked at it. And I accomplished it pretty much. You know, I'd get fired. They'd call me up. I'd be asleep. And I wasn't getting out of bed to go to work. So I'd get fired. And that kind of went on for a while. And then I met somebody and I got married. I was 18 years old. He was a lot of years older than I am, and he basically took care of me for a lot of years. And our deal was kind of that I'll keep my drinking quiet, and you keep your gambling quiet, and then we'll just kind of get along. And that's what we did. He gambled, I drank, we never talked about it. And we just went about our business. And I was married to him for 16 years. And then I decided that I wanted to go out in the world and be an adult and move to San Diego. And I met a guy and we came out here I was not equipped to function. I lived in Laughlin, Nevada, which is a little tiny town with two roads and they go the same way, you know. And, you know, I worked in a casino where outrageous behavior was acceptable, where, you know, throwing tantrums and getting in trouble and causing trouble was acceptable. Drinking a little bit was acceptable as long as you didn't get too drunk, you know. Not here. They don't like it here when you drink while you're working. I mean, they really don't. And look, I'm doing a good job, which I am. I'm making money. You're making money. I don't see the problem. You know, we have a customer that gets pissed off and walks out every once in a while. Well, we have a lot of other customers. I didn't get it. And I just kept getting more and more and more and more depressed as time went on. I really did. I became more depressed. I had successfully stifled my feelings. I had successfully squelched every drop of feeling that I had in me. And then the alcohol stopped working. And then the feelings started coming. And I couldn't deal with that. And I couldn't handle anything other than anger and rage. Those emotions I could handle. The rest of them I couldn't handle. I couldn't handle them at all. And so I started mentally deteriorating, seriously mentally deteriorating, to where I had isolated myself. I had this guy. We fought, we made up. This was our life. And he didn't have much of a life either. That's what he did with me all day long. And that's what I did with him all day long. And he couldn't hold down a job. He ended up in jail. I at least had a job. And I started exhibiting really dangerous and really demoralizing behaviors. I started cutting myself. I started getting into... I stabbed myself twice in the arm with a pen. And I was so terrified to go get a tetanus shot because I was afraid they were going to lock me up, which seemed reasonable to me. And so I waited until they gave me the tetanus shot, and then I dived out the back door before the nurse could come back. And, you know, I started to really realize I knew that this was crazy behavior. I knew I was an alcoholic. I had no idea what it meant. I probably didn't know what it meant to be an alcoholic until I had been in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous 3 years, to where I really understood what the disease was. I always knew I was unstable. I always knew I was crazy. I always knew I was an alcoholic, and I never had any idea what to do about it. And I wasn't going to do anything about it until I had to, until I was going to get locked up in a mental institution, or I was going to step in front of a trolley, or I was going to, you know, drive my car off a bridge, or whatever the other fantasies that I used to come up all the time with when I was just at that really horrible low point where I couldn't stand it anymore. And luckily, I had an inspiration one day. I called my insurance company. I had a job. I just decided I did want to be locked up after all. I wanted to go on vacation. Life was getting too hard. I was getting ready to get fired. I've never been fired. What? Fired? I can't... I have to come to work and I have to drink. I can't drink while I'm at work. What are you talking about? I had never been fired. I'd never even really been reprimanded for my behavior. And now I'm suddenly being reprimanded for my behavior and I'm going to get fired. And luckily I had a boss that cared enough about me that when I came to her and I said that I'm an alcoholic and I need to go into this treatment center, this API, that she arranged her schedule and the schedule around me so that I could go to my rehab 3 days a week and keep my job and keep my insurance. And I treated that woman terribly. I undermined her authority every time I turned around. I was not a good employee. And I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was so beaten, I just did what I was told. And if there's any new people here that are beaten, I mean really beaten, just do what you're told. Just show up. Pick a person that you trust, because I tell you what, I believed you when you said to me that you don't have to drink anymore. I believed you when you said to me that I'm crazy and you're crazy and we know how you cannot act crazy. You know, I believed you when you said that to me. And the program told me to go to meetings, and I went to meetings, and I mostly went to meetings at Brothers Restaurants. And I was embraced into the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Women in this program took me through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I learned who I was, and I discovered the person I was, and I was able to cope with my feelings and my emotions in a sensible manner. And I was able to achieve that, those moments in the beginning that were just moments of serenity, where peace, where I'm comfortable with myself and I'm comfortable with you and I'm not afraid all the time. And now that's kind of an everyday thing for me. I spend my days pretty comfortable. Ooh, I gotta go. I spend my days pretty comfortable, and I'm pretty blessed with the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And the women and men in this program have always treated me with respect, and they've been honorable to me, and they've